Right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Can we rise to our feet? Let's declare the word of God together. Our opening incantations for the activation of the grace apparatus for perception. There is a grace apparatus for perception, which means that anybody can understand the word of God. RB Times says there is a grace apparatus for perception, which in itself needs apparatus to understand. The Lord is good. Anyway, what it means, anybody can understand the word of God. So what we do when we start is to activate that grace apparatus of perception by declaring God's word. If you are ready for today's Bible study, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's declare the word of God together as we go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, give me another amen.
Amen.
That's your portion again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. If you have your Bibles, let's continue looking at the pursuit of God. And we'll continue looking at the matter of faith where we ended last time. Last time we looked at the fact that Enoch walked with God. He had a close relationship with the Lord. He continued in his life in a close fellowship with the Lord. And then so close was his fellowship that one day, New Living Translation, Good News Bible says, he disappeared. All right? King James says, and he was not. That is, they couldn't find him anymore. What happened? It was because God took him. And I emphasized last time that that's what God wants from us. He wants us to walk with him closely. He doesn't want people who approach him only because they see him as a problem solver. God is not primarily a problem solver, He is God. And the greatest desire of His heart is not to solve problems. Are you getting my point? No. It's to have a relationship with people, with His children. That's the greatest desire of His heart. He wants to relate with us. He doesn't want us to approach only when it is time to solve a problem. That's why I'm going there again. That's why I don't like when Christians tell me that when you need something, you go and give. It doesn't work. Having your needs met with God is a byproduct of a relationship. Are you getting my point here? It's just one of those byproducts of the relationship. It's not because you want something done, then you do one thing. That's not how God wants it. He wants us to relate with Him. And like I said the other day, let's not forget to lay emphasis on what Jesus was laying emphasis on when He was speaking. My example was when I said that give and it shall be given unto you. He wasn't trying to say, please, this is how to get your needs met. His emphasis was on giving. When he said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. His emphasis was on seeking the kingdom of God. He was just saying that don't worry about the other things. They will come. That's the point he was making. They will come. Don't pursue them. They will come. We've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. What Solomon was trying to tell us, you see, if you read the whole book, he was saying that I have tried everything you are trying to try now. I like that English. Don't you like that? I have tried everything you are trying to try, and I can tell you nothing is worth it. Every good thing in life must be added to you as an addition. It must not be a goal in your life. Every single thing must be added to you as an addition. It must not be a goal. What that means is this. All right? Let me explain it again. God doesn't want us to make all this one of draw a car on the wall and you keep on looking at it until it becomes real in your life. It's childish faith. Real faith does not have the time to put a car on the wall and be staring at it every day. Do you understand my point? Those are just tools of life. Solomon was emphasizing to us that I have realized that when the car will come, you will enjoy it if God blows it upon you. But if you continue every day striving to get it, when you get it, you will be disappointed. One of my friends called it post-acquisition depression. He said, that's when that happens. You spend a lot of money. Those of you who were in school, and shortly after we left school, for young boys, what was it that we wanted? There was no phone that time, no tabs, no laptops really. There were laptops, but They were not the common, in fact, how many laptops were, which one be laptop? How many people own computers? Those are one now in school. I'm talking about, something years ago. So what we wanted then was music set. Are you getting my point? Yeah, when you had money, you bought a good music set. That's what young boys wanted. And he noticed something that sometimes you buy a good music set. So the next few days you are depressed. He calls it post-acquisition depression. He coined that word. That when you have spent money, you now realize that all is what? Vanity. You've spent money, you've stressed yourself beyond measure. And the thing comes into your life, you discover it is vanity. And Solomon said, don't worry about it. Like I said something then when we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, that Solomon was not saying that those things in themselves are bad. What made them vanity was the human effort that went into them to bring them into our lives. It's like wind. It's like wind. If it blows on you, it is comfortable, it is nice. If you start running after it so that it can continue blowing on you, the whole society will gather and say, this man has gone mental. That's just a matter of fact. Okay, so that's what we're trying to emphasize. So we believers, we must put in our faces, in front of us, the things that are most important. And the primary thing is to pursue God personally, to know Him. I said it again last time, let me say it again. God wants to sit you down and tell you the mysteries of creation. He wants to have a kind of relationship that you and Him will talk. Really, I'm not joking about this. It will get there one day. That you actually sit down and He will understand why Euglena is is like that. Are you know Euglena? As you learned that in biology. One day you'll sit down and see the similarity between a chimpanzee and an orangutan. What's the difference? What is the glory of God that each one is manifesting? And that's a matter of fact. There's no one, even the mosquito, one day you will find out why God invented the mosquito. And I say, Lord, you mean you made this thing? Is it just to harass our lives? Are these the Philistines that are supposed to be disturbing us? When maybe we're supposed to pray, we are not praying. They start doing wah, wah, wah in your ears and you wake up to go and pray. You'll be asking questions like that and He'll be giving you answers to the reason why the mosquitoes exist. And there is a reason for it. Are you getting my point? And He wants to share that knowledge. He enjoys that process. And I want the Christians to understand that. For God, that is good. That is good. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come and make our abode in His house. That is, he didn't say we'll come and live in His heart. No, he didn't say that. Go and read it. He didn't say I'll come and live in His heart. He said we'll come and live in His house. We'll come and live with Him. Are you getting my point? I tell people all the time that, listen, you say you want to go to Jerusalem to go and see the Lord, don't waste your time. Jesus is not in Jerusalem. God is not in Jerusalem. Listen, God, you know, let's not go there. If I get there, I get stuck again because this Zionism that destroying Christianity is not good at all. All right, listen to me. I heard people say that God is going to build a temple. You know, when I hear it, I say, are you serious or you're joking? A physical temple on this earth? Believe me, He won't do it. He has made His word clear. That you, me, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God now. He will not build another brick and mortar temple. Trust me, He won't. God doesn't like buildings. Temples, He doesn't like it. The building that He wants is your heart, is my heart. Are you getting my point? If it is an arrangement of a building that will bring Jesus back, let me tell you what it is. It's when you and I, all of us Christians, are in such an agreement that when the angels look from above, it's as if they are seeing a well-built building. And what is the building? Is you and me being in agreement. Is the Baptists and the Assemblies of God people not seeing any difference between them? Just saying that, okay, you guys walk in this area. Why we walk in this area? It's when the different churches they've come to an agreement and those walls don't exist anymore. More than just buildings that are convenient for our meeting. Just like here now, we're not in the open. When that is built, then Jesus can return to that temple. Not that you go and get a special group of architects to design the temple worthy of the Lord. Fat joke. People don't know what they call the New Testament. There's no prophecy of God that's interpreted based on the nation of Israel that is correct. Every prophecy of God must be interpreted based on Christ. Let me leave that one to you. Go and chew on that when you get home. Every prophecy must be interpreted around Christ Jesus. No matter what you see in the Bible, if it's not interpreted around Christ Jesus, your interpretation is wrong. Your interpretation is incorrect. All right, let's leave that. All right, let's get back to our main message. So, I went into that to let you know that Jesus, God the Father, what they want is to make their abode with us. It's the house you are living in now that God wants to live in. It's not a temple. The house you are living, even if it's a hut, that is where he wants to live. That is the very place he desires to stay. He wants to come. Look, to you, maybe a single room, all right, in a high density area. But Jesus wants to stay there. And he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and my Father will come, and I will make our abode with him. That's the primary desire of his heart. That's what I'm trying to say. And that must be the thing that we have put in front, and is a goal that we are running after. We're not running after God for what we want to get from him, but we want to satisfy the desire of his heart. And that's what we are talking about in this particular series. So let's continue. All right, so last time I was speaking about that. That's when we talked about Enoch, how Enoch works with God. All right, and I now said, anybody who works with God, let me say that again. The nature of God, give me a scientific word, percolates into him. It diffuses into him. It penetrates into him. He's transformed without even realizing that something is going on. When Moses will come out of the presence of God, his face will be shining. And he would not know. The Bible said he did not know his face was shining. What I'm trying to say is that we can absorb God. We can absorb him. There's something that radiates from him that you understand my point? It enters into us if we stay with him. And it affects our eyes. It affects how we see things, how we interpret things. It affects how things relate with us. I said something last time that many blessings we are looking for in life, they are not coming towards us because we are not magnetizing it yet. There is not enough divinity in our soul to be able to magnetize the blessing. I don't know whether I get my point here. And that's why the Bible says that he gave us magnificent promises, so that through them we can be partakers of the divine nature. Because once the divine nature is part of us, are you getting me? Then many things start attracting themselves. You don't have to look for them. Listen, this gospel of how to get everything you want, need, you want met. It's not good. It's not good gospel. It's not good gospel. The gospel is the gospel of transformation. The true gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, is that Jesus begins to reside inside you. That God the Father's nature is replicated in you as an individual. That's the real gospel. So he said, don't worry about it. All other things will be what? Added to you. Once we stay in his presence, believe me, we become magnetic also. It's like you put a metal against magnet. After a while, the metal itself becomes magnetized. I like one thing this man said, John Gillick. John Gillick made a statement once, interesting. He said there was a time that the axe head fell into the water when Elisha and his men wanted to build expand their building anyway where they were staying. He said, what happened? How did he recover it? He said, Elisha took a piece of wood. The Bible said he cast it upon the water and the iron did float. Now, he said, what happened was that Elisha took that piece of wood, held it. He held it until the anointing inside him penetrated the wood, causing it to become magnetic, and he tossed it on the water, and any metal down there pulled towards the wood. I said, my father, this is new science. Are you getting my point? that it was a transference of spiritual substance. It was that the man just held it and looked into the realm of the spirit, and the spirit began to flow through him into the wood, and the wood became magnetic, and it tossed on the iron, on the water, and the metal came out from under and stuck to the wood, and they recovered their material. He was saying, that's what he was explaining, that's John Gillick. John Gillick was talking about the power, the transmissibility of divine power, that this thing can be transmitted, that it can be transmitted, that if you have it, you can, he has transmitted it to paper before, that they print paper, he will hold it, pray over it, send it to somebody. The person holds it, he starts vibrating, he drops, the vibration stops. I said, what's going on? You pick up the journal again, the fellow starts vibrating. He said, why? Because I loaded that thing with divinity. Whoa. Let me tell you something about life. Me, I told, one day I was praying, dear Lord, it's not about, you know, there are things that, you know, there are people who want to travel abroad, they want to see the Alps. I'm happy you don't even know what's the Alps. Most people don't even know what they're talking about. You know, you want to travel, go and see the high mountains and see people snowing, skiing, snowboarding, all of those things. Are they good things? I don't know. Some people, look, they want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, all my neighbors have gone to Dubai. Me too, I will go in Jesus' name. Amen. Sow a seed so that you can have a holiday in Dubai. They sow a seed. Believe me, you don't know what's important in life. If you're still praying like that, you don't know what's important in life. Paul said, what are you talking about? Me praying to see Dubai? Pray to see the Alps? Me too, I must see New York, Paris. I must shop on, is it Ellis Street, whatever they call it in Paris?
No, Paul said, that's a very stupid prayer point for me. What is my own? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What was Paul trying to say? Listen, I must understand spiritual power and experience it. Are you getting my point? That is, the prayer is that, God, they say people get raised up from the dead. Ha. In the name of Jesus, in this my life, I must see it. I'm tired of testimonies. I want to see eye-timony. Are you getting my point? I want to use my own eye to see it. That's not just testimony. I want to see spiritual power manifested. I prayed one prayer one day. If I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. But I'll tell you anyway. I said, Lord, you see, I'm not afraid to die. Amen. I'm not dying now. Don't think I'm trying to die. Don't worry about it. Okay? But I just said, Lord, I would like to take a tour of heaven. Don't surprise me. Say, I'll just die one day. I say, see what the place is like. No. I mean, when we want to travel, sometimes we look at brochures. You know, you see the airport ahead of time. It's nice to take a tour. You know, the tours are dangerous, I know, because my experience is that when you tour heaven, you don't want to come back. But I told them, don't worry, I will come back. Trust me now, you know. Now, I'm not talking about having things that are important in front of your eyes. Some people say, look, like, Father, in the name of Jesus, this car called Rolls Royce. Me too, I must enter. Please, the Lord just is shaking his head. Say, this is my boy, never grow. After all these years, those things are toys. They are toys. A private jet is just another toy, but this one, it flies. If you come to my house, I have all kinds of toys for my kids. They are growing older now, of course, gotten tired of a lot of them. I have, you know, motor cars, you know, motorized cars, that the remote control cars, I have the ones that fly. I have about two of them. A helicopter and an attack helicopter. And it's, once you charge it, you drop it, put the control, zoom, it lifts into the air, and it moves around. It hovers. You can move it up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Then it crashes after a while. The battery doesn't last long. Yes, it's true. They are very small, you know, toys, okay? But they are all toys. They are all toys. That's the point I'm making. Whether it's riding on the earth, I have one that looks like a truck. I have the one that looks like a BMW 7 Series. Looks exactly like a 7 Series BMW. But you know, it doesn't impress me. Why? It's a toy. It can't carry me anywhere. I charge the batteries for the kids, load it, give them the remote control, and boom, they are riding the thing in the sitting room, you know, feeling very happy. But I know it's a toy. It can't achieve destiny for them. Are you getting my point? It will not help them move from one place to the other. In the same manner, many of the things we are pursuing in life, God looks at them from heaven and says, these are toys. Some of them move on the earth. Some of them fly. Some of them float. They physically help you move from one place to the other. But spiritually, they don't shift your destination. They are all toys. They are all toys. So sometimes we make them prayer points. God just look and say, get ready, come. Praying about toys. There are women who have that is they are praying every day, Father, in the name of Jesus, my wedding must be grand. And God said, this one is a prayer point. Say, yes, so my gown in the name of Jesus. Father God, I receive it. I have a picture of it in my mind. God said, look, don't be foolish, my little girl. Go and meet Diana. Let her show you the video of her wedding with the gown, with everything. I was a little boy when Diana wedded. Wedding of the century. I remember. I was a little boy. The whole world watched it and there was no CNN. On NTA, we watched it. But you know the story about the wedding, don't you? The wedding broke down during their honeymoon. The world only knew about it much later. So the Lord looked and said, you see, my daughters are still praying about wedding ceremony. Honestly, there are things God doesn't want to hear about. When you kneel down, you say, okay, please don't bring that matter up again. You are embarrassing us here. It's just that the angels, they know me very well. Otherwise, they will have been wondering, is this one really a child of God? Or which kind of God is her father? That pieces of cloth and ceremony is a prayer point. If you look at the wedding and say, what is this? Do this thing quickly. Let me start marriage. Yeah, it's true. Please, I hope you're following my point here. So what I was saying, I just said, listen, we must put before our faces the things that are most important. And that's what we're talking about this series. The pursuit of God. We want to know God. We want to walk with Him. We want to know Him just for His, just to know Him and His, that's it. And like I said before, the knowledge of God is not intellectual knowledge. It builds relationship. And that's why you see, one of the words you see in the Old Testament, okay? He'll tell you, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. So knowledge with God is not just intellectual knowledge. It's a relationship that becomes very close. So when we're talking about we knowing God, it's not just reading a book about Him. It's coming to a situation where we are personally acquainted with Him. I said something last time that, listen, Abraham, who used the word Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh for him was not a textbook matter. It was a personal experience. Go and sacrifice your son. He got there. The Lord now said to him, don't kill him anymore. He now found a ram there with his horn cut in the bush and then sacrificed the ram. And he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That is the name that place God provides. So when you see Jehovah Jireh for him, it was a matter of personal acquaintance. That is, listen, recently they say in Nigeria, recession. One of the things that came to my mind, of course, the flesh doesn't want what people call recession. It doesn't want it. But I told myself, I said, God, it may physically look not like a good thing, but at least this is an opportunity to exercise the faith which we claimed we had when there was no recession. If we really had that faith, we wouldn't be afraid of recession. What the world calls recession. After the Bible says that we should be like trees firmly planted by rivers of water, streams of water, that we yield our fruit in our own season. In everything we do, we prosper. That is, it is not the weather outside that determines whether we will prosper or not. So sometimes when you hear a dollar is now 10,000 naira, it's a good time to rejoice. To say, Lord, do I really have faith or I don't? You see, Christians now running up and down. Why? It is a recession. If you just make $5,000, convert it to naira. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, it's a disappointment because you see, what you don't understand is that you have proven that you don't have faith. Like I said before, 1 Peter chapter 1, when we're reading it, that what God is going for is the genuineness of our faith. He needs our faith to be genuine. When people are not focused on God, that's when they start hearing voices telling them to go to comfortable areas. That's the point I'm trying to make. That what do we need to... Okay, I was saying something earlier, that as believers, all these trials for us should be a challenge for our faith. That's what I was trying to say. That we say, my faith, is it genuine or not? That's it. That's what we want. So we're not afraid of situations. Is my faith genuine or not is what we are going for. Not looking for how to hear voices to tell us where life is comfortable. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Please bear that in mind. That's what faith is. That is what a walk with God is. That's what we're talking about. So we must pursue God. Now let's continue from where we stopped last time. And I've been trying to get to it for some time. I'm happy I'm there now. The book of Romans chapter 4. We read it the other time. Let's get back to it. Now what I want to emphasize again today is something we began some time ago. But I didn't continue on it immediately. But the Lord has given me the liberty now to get back to it. I need to read that. Now, my message for today, up to this point, I'll just review the main thing we've been trying to do. Let me now settle down on the word I have for today. Somebody say, he has a word. All right, the Lord is good. Let's look at the word I have for today. The book of Romans chapter 4. Now, it's something we read before. Let's start from verse 16. It said, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations I have made you. It is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In the presence of him whom he believed, yes, I want to get that flow. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, that is physically. Now, please, I want to understand that. The Bible says in verse 18, in hope, Abraham believed against hope so that he might become a father of many nations,
according to that which had been spoken. What was that? So shall your descendants be. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. I just completed reading that, even though what I really wanted to stop, where I wanted to stop really was verse 22. But let me just go back to this point we began with a few weeks ago on this particular subject, talking about faith as part of our pursuit of God. Last time I ended by explaining the fact that those who have been with God, they see things differently. Can you remember that? I explained that those who have been acquainted with him, when they see things, the way they respond is different. For example, the mountain was surrounded when the soldiers came to arrest Elisha. Gehazi, not knowing what was happening in the realm of the spirit, what did he say? He began to panic. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? And then the master who was acquainted with things of the spirit, what did he say? Ignore them. Forget them. The servant said, why? He said, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Why? For him, the things of the realm of the spirit were tangible. Are you getting my point here? Now, please, I want you to follow me. So what happened was that he brought the things that were tangible in the realm of the spirit, he brought them into physical existence. Why? How? By his faith. Why did I read this? You will see that Abraham, he had a promise. The Bible says that he refused to waver in unbelief, but he put his hope, his faith in God, who gives life to the dead. That's in verse 17. And calls into being that which does not exist. And King James' expression there is so poetic. He said, he calls those things that be not as though they were. What was he trying to say? That is, you see something physically, God speaks a word, and what he's bringing into existence, at the time he's speaking that word, that thing does not exist. Please follow what I'm going to say. There's something I'm going somewhere. Why we Christians have to be careful, why we have to pursue God, why we must learn to see things with the eyes of God. Please, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. The other time I told a story. I just told a hypothetical story that somebody may have gotten injured, all right? He fell, she fell, or was cutting something in the kitchen, and the knife cut the hand, all right? Or the nail punctured the foot while he was walking in the shed. And then a number of pathways can arise from that. Please follow this. One, the wound could just get cleaned. You dress it, you know, clean the area with iodine, with spirit, or just an antiseptic, and leave it, bandage it, or put a clean plaster on it. And that's it. It heals over the next few days. The pain disappears after 1 week, and it's all gone. Now, we think that is a normal thing. But let me tell you something, there's nothing normal. Everything has been played out in the realm of the spirit. There's another way it could go. The wound could get infected. Tetanus could creep in. The organism could grow in the wound. And after some time, they release their toxins into the system. A few weeks later, the man wakes up, he can't move his neck. His jaw is locked. You call him, he goes into a spasm. You drag him to hospital, they start treating, they do everything. From the day of the injury, 1 month later, he's dead. The same wound, going two different ways. And I said, that wound can be anything. It can be two neighbors quarreling. First World War started because somebody shot somebody. Not because two nations were quarreling, but because an ambassador from another country, a royal member of his own country, you understand, a member of the royal family, an archduke, was shot. And that was how First World War began. Millions died in that process because a man shot another person. Please follow me. We know the story that happened in Rwanda, all right? Over 1 million people died eventually in just a few months. Why?
Because men began to speak evil against themselves. Some called some people cockroaches. Some called them tall trees. Then one day a man announced on air, call down the tall trees. And the men had machetes ready, cutlasses, and they began to kill human beings. And over the next 60 days, about 800,000 people were murdered. Again, believe me, these kind of things start in beer parlors. They start on radio talk shows. But listen to me, the way they could go, that's what I'm going to emphasize, they have been written in the realm of the spirit. The wound could heal, or the wound could kill. What will be, now that's what I'm talking about, what will be, the Bible says that Abraham, by faith, are you getting my point? In hope, against hope he believed. He put his hope in God, who quickens the dead and calls into existence that which does not exist. What am I going to say here? What you see physically is not what will decide what will happen afterwards. It is what you call into existence that matters. Listen, everything in life, that's why I say, look, you must learn to see things with the eyes of God. Because Abraham, the Bible says, he contemplated his body. He knew the situation of his body, but he refused to derive his expectation from what he was seeing. I told you that when I came to Enugu, of course, I've been working here for many years, they have seen situations before that even people, locals, again, people who are from here, try to persuade me this is tribalism against me. But I said it is not true. What they don't understand is that I wasn't speaking from what eyes could see. I was speaking according to the promise of God over my life. Do you get my point here? I was speaking according to the promise of God over my life. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, all kinds of things have been written. There's a story I tell all the time. Many times, I've heard me tell this story of the Red Prince. One day was conducting a deliverance session on a woman who had a familiar spirit. Just like Paul cast out a demon from one particular young girl in the book of Acts. This girl also had a familiar spirit and used to see visions and could see things. And as the Red Prince spoke to that demon, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. The girl spoke up. He said, I had a vision that I see you in a red car. Or at least in a car, I'm not sure the color again. I see you in a car that was wrecked around a tree. You know, kind of saying that Derek Prince died in a car accident. Now listen to this. If you tell an average Christian today that, you know how he responds? He say, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. And what happens? He declares a 3 days fast. No eating, no drinking. They pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. And if any of the children dare to eat, he say, serious things are going on. You are here eating. And the pastor will say, your enemies are not sleeping. What are you doing sleeping? Why? Because they had a vision that a man had a car accident and died. I know what the referee said. He told the young woman, you have seen the plan of the devil for my life. But let me give you the news. I don't walk in the devil's plan. That was the prayer. That was the beginning of the prayer. That was the end of the prayer. He never took the matter to God in prayer. Many of the things we pray about, we are giving energy to the suggestion of the devil. Listen to me. The man just simply said to the girl, sorry, you have seen into the devil's plan, but there is a problem there. I don't walk in the devil's plan. You can't come to me now and say, you see death around me. I'll tell my friend, go away. I have other things to do. There are things I don't respond to. Prophecies, I see death around you. You must be blind. You did not calculate their distance. You will have noticed that they were around outside the periphery of the hedge of God that he built around me. I'm telling you the truth, I will not pray one line of prayer about it. Ask my wife, I'm not lying to you. That's how I live my life, she knows. There are things I don't take serious. I see Christian friends, and if you see, this, they're always seeing it around people. I'll be honest with you, there's death around me. Sometimes cockroaches die. It is death. And in my house, when I bring out insecticide, usually in my children's room to make sure they can sleep in peace, all these mosquitoes, they die. That's death around me. It is who is dying that's the issue. The mosquitoes, they die. The cockroaches die. The rats die. Anytime I see any rat around my house, I tell him, prepare supper. He knows what I mean. I say, feed them, we have guests. He knows what I mean. You get, you know, indomethacin. Mix it with a meal, small meal, and save the rats. Say, pastor, say we should eat. They die. You get to my point. There are prayer points I don't take seriously. I don't. God is my witness. I've never taken them seriously. When people want to travel, they begin to cast and bind on the road. Out of respect for the name of Jesus and my brethren, that is why I bow my heads in those cars when they are praying, if I'm in a commercial vehicle. Let us now begin to bind every witch, every demon, every principality on road. Pastor Banky, don't you pray about your road? I do. What is my prayer? It's a scripture. The Lord is with me in my going out and in my coming in. That's all. Believe me, that is power. I like one thing Reverend Akinola said those days when I was a house officer. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I never forgot it. He was talking about atomic energy. That if you know how to break the atom, you release the power inside. That if you know how to break the scripture open, you release the power that God condensed inside. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I went all of that to explain something here. Derek Prince story. That woman saw something. She was not lying. She actually had a familiar spirit that used to show her visions. And when she would see those visions, she would tell people about them. And people will go ahead and follow those visions. And today, of course, Christians follow. A lot of people go to those churches these days. And they are impressed with pastors who see visions. Most of those ministers are blind. They don't see anything. They see wrongly. I'm trying to describe something. In the realm of the spirit, things are written. Are they trying to kill you? Yes. The other day I went to preach in Port Harcourt. I finished talking like this. A woman came up to me and told me a detailed story. He said, sir, you said that witches can't kill a Christian. I said so, and I mean it. I'm standing by it. He said, I want to tell you about my husband. I said, wait, madam, let me say it again. Witches can't kill a Christian. He said that I was talking about your mother is not the witch. She's not trying to kill you. And I told him the story about her husband who was killed by his mother who is a witch. I said, madam, thank you very much for the story. But I can assure you of one thing. Your husband was not a believer. She said, okay. I said, yes. He was not a believer. What I couldn't tell her, all right, is that forget that story, actually. It didn't go the way you are planning, you are interpreting it. I found out that forget that story. Said the man, tells the man said this, the woman, I said, but I didn't have, I just said, look, at least you have admitted on one point, the man was not a believer. I said, a witch cannot kill a believer. Forget that thing. The life of a Christian is only in the hand of his God. Please, I'll explain something here. So a lot of things are written in heaven. They give it to people. People take them and listen to this. By their faith, they download them onto the earth. That's what I'm talking about. That wound I told you about, different pathways have been written for it. You now, by faith, bring to the earth the one you want. What people experience all the time is not, I mean, they don't always experience what God wants them to experience. I've said it before, God is judge, so we always carry out his decree. But we don't always carry out his will. Because if you always carried out his will, it would not have been a prayer point. So Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. So in heaven, many things have been written. Faith, the true faith of God, is the way by which we bring the thing that is written in heaven down to reality on the earth. That's why we believers, we learn not to judge according to what we are seeing. And what in the country today, not just today, what always happens is that the world wants us to judge according to what we are seeing. So they will get up in the morning and tell you that, did you notice that Buhari sacked an Igbo man and put a Hausa man? Can you see? He wants to empower Islam. While he's, what's the opposite of empower? Dispowering. While he's trying to weaken the South and marginalize the East. Now listen to this. Christians soak it in, they drink it, and they call those things that be not as though they were. And the interesting part, Islam gets stronger and they get weaker. And then when the Islam gets stronger, they will tell you, we said so. What they don't understand is that it was their faith that created the strength for that Islam. They think they are supposed to speak according to what they are seeing. For example, you hear me say all the time, they said the recession, I don't believe in it. Is it because I did not see the dollar move from 150 naira to 300 to 450 till it hits 500? When it started crawling, I knew it would hit 400. Is that I didn't see it? I did. But how do I interpret things? I relate with what I'm seeing based upon what I want to come down from heaven to the earth. I don't relate with things based upon what I can see. Like I said the other day, you can face the facts if you wish. Go ahead, face it. Look, let's be real. Let's face the facts. But facts does not create the next set of facts that are good for you. Only faith creates the next set of facts that are good for you. Today's fact will only strengthen itself if you keep on facing it. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Today's fact only strengthens itself if you keep on facing it. If you want the fact to get weak, that is what you are seeing, then you have to take your eyes away from it and focus on what is written in heaven, and then by faith, bring them down to the earth. And what did Abraham do? The Bible said he looked at his body, even though it was as good as death, but he refused to focus on it. What did he do? He turned and began to give glory to God. He spoke to the Lord, said, God, you have promised, and I know you are a good God. You fulfill your word. Your word will become real in my life. And that was what became real in his life. And right now, we are telling his story of a woman who gave birth at the age of 90. And I say all the time, listen, Abraham was not the only one called by God. How do I know? Jesus said, many are called. It's the word of God. I wasn't the one that said it. You only know the story of Abraham because he was amongst those chosen. And amongst those who were chosen, Abraham was chosen, his father was chosen, his brothers were chosen. But he was the only one that was faithful. So now we know the story of Abraham. What am I saying? The story of Abraham and Sarah could have gone differently. And you'll have heard the story of a man who was 100 years and his wife that was 90. And the two of them used to fight and quarrel because the man said he believed God. The woman did not believe God, and they went back to all of Child D, and the business is like that. At the end of the day, nobody writes the story in the Bible. Please, I hope you're following my point here. Because I need to emphasize that as we are working with God, I said last time, when we walk with God, it colors how we see things. And what we see, because everything in life is speaking, let me emphasize that, everything in life is speaking. And what you hear is what creates expectation. Anytime I watch CNN, you know this interesting part. I don't watch them these days. I hardly do. Hardly. If I watch, you know, I watch news a lot. I sit down, try to catch up what is going on. But I stopped watching CNN recently. After Donald Trump took office as American president, I stopped watching CNN. Why? I'll tell you my reason. Anger. That's why I stopped watching. Now, anytime I sit down and watch them, I notice something. They have made up their minds that Donald Trump will not succeed as a president of the United States. So what do? They amplify all his mistakes. Now, just by the way, you know, we talk a lot of things so that people can learn, all right? And it also helps me to preach easily. I know it's not about Donald Trump. I thought about it yesterday. You know his major problem? He's not a politician. That's the major problem. You know, people say, Obama. I say Obama was a politician with a demonic flavor. The guy was... That's why he never did anything wrong. Why every statement is calculated. Every statement is planned. So, look, you can't say this, it will hurt the LGBT people. You can't say this, it will hurt our allies. You can't say this, it will hurt the Muslims. You can't say, so every statement he makes is calculated. Even when he's doing things he said he will not do. One day somebody released a number of illegal immigrants deported under Obama. I couldn't believe it. But he would never say it. It's too politically incorrect. But Donald Trump doesn't care. It's not like he doesn't care. He doesn't know to care. To him, this is business. You are the one that thinks it's politics. He just gets up and says the courts are political. I mean, there are statements that American presidents don't make. But he doesn't know they don't make it. He just makes it. But what I'm talking about is CNN. CNN will take every one of those things and blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up. I found out one day that every time I watch CNN, I can see they are trying to... I'm not American. I'm not an American citizen. I don't live there. I don't have American green card. Their last visa I had has expired. I have not renewed it, you know. So it's not really my problem. The only thing is that I just get angry with that attitude, which of course a lot of Nigerians have against our head of state also, which I will talk about, all right? I noticed that what they are doing is that they are trying to incite the populace to emit radiation in their faith against the man. And just by the way, when God wants to do you in, if God wants to bless somebody and decide to do that, he will close down your network. And he has to, why the Lord does that if he really wants to support somebody is that he knows that if he continue like that, you must understand God understands spiritual principles. He knows if he continue like that and people respond to you and they release enough negative vibes, what you are saying will come to pass. So when God wants to ensure that what you are saying that's negative does not come to pass, he shuts you down. That's what he does. I can prove it to you. You know his scripture. Man of God. What did God say? He said, look at this men, they are in agreement. Anything they want to do will not be withheld from them. He said, so what do we do? We're going to scatter their language. So for God to frustrate them, he had to scatter their language. You couldn't just sit in heaven and be watching them. He knew they would succeed. In the same manner, when Nnamdi Kanu began this radio in the East here and was poisoning the populace. Poisoning the populace. One day I stood there, one brother came to me and said, sir, things are bad. I said, what are you talking about? That was when I asked you that. They said, you haven't heard. I said, I haven't heard. He now began to give me the gist. And right here, many of you were here on Tuesday. We prayed, say, God, this is enough. Because you may not realize it. What is happening that people are bringing to the earth things that are written for Rwanda, that Rwanda played out. They are trying to bring it to Nigeria. So Christians have to say, no. These things are spiritual. Please listen to our series on Ecclesiastes. You know how things are supposed to be done. Listen, what happens in this life, that's what I'm going to emphasize to you, is that we take a narrative that's been written in heaven. When I say heaven, I don't mean in God's heaven, in the realm of the spirit. Satan has written his own. Like the reprint said, he said, what you have seen is Satan's plan for my life. But the problem is, I don't walk in the plan of the devil. He did not pray about it. I need to emphasize that. Many Christians will start praying about it. They take a vision that the devil gave to them and they turn it to a prayer point. And they think they are stopping the power of the devil, but actually they are amplifying it. Some things are supposed to be killed by neglect. Some things, you just ignore them. They give you words saying, no, come on, don't tell me that. Why? I don't even talk about that. Leave it. It's not an issue with me.